We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
angry. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning. Your voice cracked a little bit. You all right, bro?
Just woke up 10 minutes ago. Okay. Can you give me a chance? Let me get him drink a little green tea or something. A man just sit down after waking up at 5:50 in the morning. You asking him if his voice cracking? Let me wipe the cold out my eye.
No, okay? Wipe the cold out, child. You know, I believe this weekend we were supposed to be in
Vegas.
Did
you say what's up to Toronto, you disrespectful ass beige person?
Toronto!
That's why BET don't think you black, right there.
Shut up.
I don't know what that had nothing to do with nothing, but that's going to be my excuse for the rest of the week. I'm going to say that to you at least 10 times for the rest of the week. That's why BET don't think you black right there for no reason. Mm-mm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was disappointed in BET back then. But anyway, you know, this was the weekend I believe we were supposed to be at the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. I think it's supposed to be this weekend. This is when we usually go to Vegas and we host the show and so many different performances. It's always a great, great, great time. I think this was the weekend.
Doesn't the awards come on tonight? Is it tonight or tomorrow? I think it's tonight or tomorrow. Okay.
You're going to throw stuff out there and not know? I don't know.
None of you iHeart employee partners know. Jesus Christ.
Tomorrow. You don't know either.
Tomorrow drum.
Tomorrow and Saturday is the iHeart Festival.
The same day it would have been if it was live.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. So, anyway. How you guys doing? How you do yesterday? Everything was good? What y'all do? Anything? Anything exciting? Fun? Anything?
Good. Good morning, Toronto. You know, yesterday, and this is very exciting for me, and I know y'all not going to care, but I recorded Lip Service, and we interviewed Division, and they're from Toronto, and I love Division. That's like, I think they're from Toronto. They're signed to OVO. Mm-hmm. And this is exciting for me because they don't do a lot of interviews, and I love that group, so. Y'all don't listen to Division, though.
A little bit.
Aaliyah.
A little bit. I've heard some music.
Yeah, I definitely heard some music. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Now, we have on the show today Stephen Jackson and Matt Barnes.
Stephen Jackson and Matt Barnes.
All the Smoke podcast.
You can hear the All the Smoke podcast now on the Black Effect Podcast Network with iHeartRadio. But they also have the All the Smoke TV show on Showtime. Mm-hmm. And that comes back tonight.
Today, that's right. Yeah,
tonight. Yes, on Showtime.
All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
All right, well, let's talk about Donald Trump versus the CDC director, Robert Redfield. They're both saying contrasting things about this coronavirus vaccine and wearing a mask.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with Donald Trump. He is talking about the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director, Dr. Robert Redfield. And Robert Redfield is giving information on what's going on with coronavirus and how important it is to wear a mask. Here's what he said.
We have clear scientific evidence they work and they are our best defense. I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine.
All right. Well, Donald Trump responded to the CDC director and said this.
And I called him about that. And I believe that if you ask him, he would probably say that he didn't understand the question. When I called up Robert today, I said to him, what's with the mask? He said, I think I answered that question incorrectly. I think maybe he misunderstood it.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Sounds so crazy.
That's good. I'm glad that the mask protects like that, though, because I'm not getting the vaccine, because that vaccine is being rushed because the election is November 3rd. Trump can't go into these debates with Joe Biden without being able to say we have a vaccine, because COVID is the only thing that's really hurting Trump's reelection chances because of the jobs and lives lost. The money got messed up. If he can show he got that back on track, it might be some slow singing and flower bringing in November.
And they must have just delivered all the new Trump signs, too, because my office is in a town in New Jersey. And yesterday when I went to my office, I see nothing but Trump 2020 signs. Like, they must have just delivered those signs yesterday. So they must have just came in yesterday. So people are starting to put their signs up.
You won't be able to get a potential vaccine anyway, even if you wanted to, until summer of 2021, according to Robert Redfield, the head of the CDC. He's saying the public won't get that potential vaccine until then. And that's why he's saying you should wear that face mask. Now, Donald Trump did try to, again, go against the head of the CDC and say that we will be able to distribute at least 100 million vaccine doses by the end of 2020 and a large number much sooner than that. But experts keep on saying that's not how it will happen. Actually, only a limited number of people who are highly at risk and healthcare workers will be getting the vaccine this year.
Yep.
So... no worries, you won't be taking that vaccine anyway. Okay, and Rochester officials, according to reports, the city of Rochester, New York, they released 325 pages of internal emails, police reports, and other documents on Monday. And they're saying there was a concerted effort by police and city officials to delay the release of this incriminating body camera footage that was involved in the death of Daniel Prude. He was a Black man who was having a mental breakdown when police pinned him to the ground in March, and he did end up dying from that. As you know, there was a lot of fallout. Deputy Police Chief Mark Simmons, according to these reports, wrote to the chief, LaRon Singletary, at the time in June as there were protests over the death of George Floyd. And they said they don't want people to misinterpret the officer's actions and conflate this incident with any recent killings of unarmed Black men. So that's why there was such a delay in releasing the footage that showed what happened in that graphic video that actually drew a national outcry. So it looks like there was some type of at least temporary cover-up when it came to the case of Daniel Prude.
I mean, you sit here and you're like, okay, what do you say to that? Because there's always a cover-up.
Always.
There's a cover-up every single time these situations happen. Every single time. So it's just like, all right, give me the script that I've been reading about these situations. It's just like, I don't even know what to do at this point. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, the family's attorney had actually requested this body cam footage on April 3rd. They didn't get the footage until August 12th.
I don't even see the point of officers wearing body cameras.
We see them regardless. Yeah, you're right. We film it.
They manipulate them. They turn them off. You know, I don't know, man. I'm at a loss for words when it comes to, the killings of unarmed Black and brown people in this country at the hands of the police. I don't even know what to say anymore. I really don't, because I feel like words don't even matter. There's no words, no lip service I can say. What do you want me to just continue to be outraged, continue to be angry, continue to be upset? Like, I don't even know what to do. I really don't.
And then they show the actual report, where the police report, where they actually write in red, and they said the change Daniel proved from a victim to a suspect.
To a suspect. I saw that. Mm-hmm. But that's what they do. Like, it's like they come up and they start talking about, oh, he stole some milk when he was in third grade. It's like who cares? Like, what does a person, you know, what does a person's past,
they try to make it look like a criminal
history, have to do with the fact that y'all committed malpractice on the job?
Yeah, they try to make somebody look like a criminal, try to make him look bad, like he was a criminal anyway, but doesn't matter. All right. Well, that is your front page news. And tonight, Thursday Night Football, the Browns take on the Bengals at 8:20. All right. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth, so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed,
say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, MB?
Hey, Trav. What's up, Trav?
Oh, my God. Hi, Trav. I miss you.
I miss you, boo. What's up, Char?
Hey, Trav.
Where's Charlamagne at?
Yeah, he can hear you. Ignoring you right now.
Yeah, I don't know what he's right doing. Now.
He's,
I don't know what he's doing.
He ain't got no love for you,
bitch, huh? Listen, don't let nobody care about Charlamagne. He ain't got to speak to me. Hey, girl. But listen, I'm calling to talk about, I want to talk about Cardi B, right? Because I feel like we all need to normalize leaving these cheating ass men, yo.
We don't
like,
know if he cheated or not. We don't know if he cheated.
That's what the word is, according to People Magazine.
Don't put that on him. We don't know.
The word is that he cheated and he may allegedly have got someone pregnant. We don't know.
All right, now we don't know that much.
We don't know what's going on. You just can't say stuff like that, Trav.
Oh, no. You
He's just going off of the headlines.
All I'm saying is that we need to normalize leaving these cheating ass. But there are some women who don't play that, like Angela Yee. She don't play that. Like my
I don't
girl,
play
Trav,
that.
Shut up, gossip, Trav. You don't know what happened in that situation.
That's what I said. You don't know what happened.
You're just calling up here spreading gossip because of what you saw in the blogs. You don't know what happened in them people's house.
Well, Offset has apologized for cheating previously, so he definitely
was
has
before.
At some point cheated.
Yeah, but
right, so you can't say he hasn't.
Now you sound like
they
the
also
cop.
Put out a
he
press release
now.
Yesterday.
Remember his last criminal history. We don't know what happened.
Yesterday they said it wasn't cheating.
Like, ladies and men, don't be putting up with these cheating men. You are not a mattress. Don't be having them, you know, ignoring you in the daytime and then try to be all over you at night. I'm tired of these men treating us like that. No, we not
Trav,
with that.
Trav, Trav.
Leaving these
That's
men.
Right. Me and Trav are taking Leave a stand off. Against y'all.
Oh my Trav, God. You, have you ever cheated on a man, Trav?
Mind your business, Charlamagne.
See, get your you ass. What I'm saying, get your hypocritical ass off the phone.
Goodbye, Trav.
Bye.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Wake up, wake up, wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name's Samantha.
Hey, Samantha, get it off your chest.
All right, so I have this relationship right now where it kind of, like, happened last year. And in the meantime, he was going out with his actual girlfriend. So basically, he was cheating on me with another girl, and a year comes around, he hits me up on our birthday, like, we have the same birthday, and he hit me up saying, happy birthday, so that was the perfect time to, like, come back into my life, you know, and
that's crazy,
it's
crazy, because black men don't cheat, so who's this white guy you dating?
She didn't say he was black.
He's not white, he's Panamanian.
There you go, he's just not black, that's all I know.
All right, let her tell her story, so what's going on?
So basically, he's back into my life. We talked it out. Like, he's not with his girlfriend anymore, but mind you, it's, like, mad trust issues because he already, like, did me dirty once. And now his ex-girlfriend, like, found me on Instagram, and she's, like, in my DMs, like, cursing me out and, like, oh, you, like, you know, Ray did this, da-da-da. Like, this guy's cheating on you, and it's all lies. And it's just, like, this toxic drama and stuff. Like, that's, like, middle school stuff, and it's just, like, I don't know if it's worth the relationship, you know? And he's a bad texter on top of it, so it's just like, trust is like, I don't know, iffy.
So now what?
I mean, and then it's just, I don't know what his girlfriend's gonna do, because if anything, she was like low-key threatening me on top of it. She's like, I'm gonna, you know, like, if you keep this up with being with him and stuff, like, if anything, there's no, like, freedom in that relationship, you know? So it's like, I don't know if it's worth the relationship if he got a crazy psycho ex on the side and he cheated on me in the first place like a while ago. So there's
I don't know. Sounds like too much drama in your life. You want all that drama?
Sounds like a lot. I ain't go front.
I just want you to know that if you had a black man, you wouldn't have these problems because black men don't cheat.
Have a good one, mama. Good luck. Hello, who's this?
This is Todd. I'm calling you from Cleveland, Ohio. I got something I want to get off my chest.
All right, Todd.
What's up, Todd?
Angela, Envy, Charlamagne. Angela, you take nice.
Yes, sir.
That's not what I called about, though. The debate is on September 29th in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Today is the 17th of September, and none of the questions have been made available to the public for the public to evaluate. Not necessarily to influence more questions or different questions, but to get a clear understanding as to what degree this quasi-debate is going to be addressing issues that people need to vote on and make decisions about these candidates. Here's something that should be made available. Before I say that, be clear on this. If you try to get in touch with the Commission on Presidential Debates that sets up these debates to inquire about this type of thing, mm-hmm. they will not respond. The only way to get a question posed to Chris Wallace as to what the questions are is to go through his TV show that comes on Sunday morning, and they will not respond unless those questions are directly related to the broadcast for that day. So there's not really a route for a public to influence or ask for certain questions. But here's a good suggestion. The taxpayer-funded neighborhood public schools in Cleveland are graded on six categories, and none of those six categories involve grading parent participation. There's no structured program or series of programs for the school system to have set up that shows to what degree parents have participated on the overall well-being of their individual neighborhood schools or neighborhood participation of the overall participation in the well-being of those neighborhood schools. The Department of Education in Washington, D.C. should have something set up for that purpose so that you can get a good idea as to what degree these most readily available nonprofits are being supported by the public separate from the government dollars, which are tax dollars. We do this. We make decisions on how public schools are funded based on property taxes. Everybody's not a property owner, and everybody's not a contributor to property taxes through apartment living and things such as that. Well, that's okay. Those people are still allowed to go, but there's an evaluation based on that. We should be evaluating based on parent and neighborhood participation because that doesn't require you to be a taxpayer, as neither does the property taxes. And we get an idea to what degree the schools are being supported. You can write off.
So listen, long-winded filibustering caller. What do you want them to be asked? What do you want to be asked in the debate? What question specifically would you like to be asked in the debates?
I want them to argue over grading parent and neighborhood participation in the neighborhood public schools and how federal tax dollars can contribute to programs to make sure that grading is done in a way so that people can understand the participation and where the money should better be sent for people
period.
That are participating.
Boom. Period. There you go, my man. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling, brother. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Now we got rooms on the way.
Yes, and let's talk about somebody who is losing their job. And that is after making some disparaging remarks about ESPN reporter.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, Dan McNeil was fired, and he is a radio host in Chicago, and that was for tweeting a sexist and misogynistic tweet about ESPN reporter Maria Taylor. Now, he said that she looks like she should be hosting an adult film award show because of her outfit. It was a leather jacket top, and he said NFL sideline reporter or a host for the AVN annual awards presentation. As you know, the AVN is the Adult Video Network Awards.
So how does he get fired for that, but people don't get fired for their commentary about WAP? Like, when people were saying wild stuff about Megan and
Well, I think that he's said, I think he said all kinds of things, and this was just the last straw. Now, she did respond, and she said, well, Danny Daris, if you would like to continue making sexist comments about me, please bring your misogyny with you to the NBA Countdown doubleheader I'll be hosting tomorrow night. Hey, ladies, remember, you can wear whatever you feel confident in.
So he's had other previous situations other than this one.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, and social media went crazy with this. It was a very mistake. I mean, first of all, there's nothing wrong with her outfit. And how are you going to talk about she looks like she should be hosting an adult video network's porn show? I mean, it's ridiculous.
He don't have a job now. So that's what he gets.
He got fired. Now, a lot of people went in on him and had comments to make, so in support of Maria Taylor. All right, now Cardi B is shutting down rumors that there is another child involved with her divorce from Offset. People were saying he's expecting a baby with another woman.
No, so, Trav, this is for you. This morning. Yeah.
There is no other child, according to sources. They said that rumor is super false. There's no other child, no baby on the way. All right, Chrissy Teigen has been placed on full bed rest, and that's because of pregnancy difficulties. She has been placed on a two-week bed rest earlier this month. She said she didn't take it seriously enough. She said, I didn't really know that bed rest was in bed. I honestly thought bed rest was you have to really, really relax, stay home. She said, I thought it could be couch rest, but now I'm in trouble. Now I need bed rest. So she said she's just trying to be as healthy as possible. As she goes through her third pregnancy, it's been more difficult than her first two. She said, I will say I'm probably being punished for talking so much about how great the first two went. I was like, oh, yeah, pregnancy is awesome, but now I get it. I get anyone that thinks it's not so awesome, but very happy to be carrying this baby. All right, now, Warner is allegedly trying to do some more Joker movies. So an insider says that Joaquin Phoenix initially felt Joker was a standalone movie, but he's changed his tune now. He says he wants to play this character again, despite the controversies that came with the release last year. It's still being negotiated, but the scripts are being written, and Joaquin is very engaged with it.
I mean, it could get corny only because the prequel to the Joker, which this movie was, it showed, you know, why the Joker became the Joker, which I thought was an interesting take. But I mean, you know, now the Joker's just going to be a wild villain. I don't know.
But I like that.
Have those I don't know if it'll like have those same layers, though.
Yeah, I love it. But I like the introduction. But what was the introduction of the Batman movie where he was wilding out, blowing his shit? What Batman movie was that?
The Dark Knight.
Yeah, but that trilogy. Joker was wild. Just imagine if they did a movie on that Joker just being wild.
Yeah, but I don't want to. But we've seen that throughout the years, though. That's the Joker we've seen for decades. The reason this movie was so good because it showed how he became that. It showed how he was getting bullied, his mental health issues. Like, this one will be just more of the same old Joker we saw. I don't think it had those layers.
I'm fine with that.
Well, they're saying there's supposedly two sequels that they're going to plan to make in the next 4 years.
Interesting.
All right, now, Wendy Williams has confessed to spying on her neighbor as he showers. Here's what she had to say. When she was on with Seth Meyers.
And what have you seen of your fellow New Yorkers in doing this?
Well, there is an apartment building across, and the man takes showers, and the shower is right there at the window. And I watch.
What are you seeing? I'm assuming the window isn't a head to toe.
No, it's a head to ankle.
Now, look, Wendy, when I heard you were looking at people with a binocular, I thought it was about passersby. But I feel like what you're doing now is like borderline criminal.
I peep at night, Tom.
Now, let's talk about double standards. Didn't a man just get fired for making comments about Maria Taylor? So where's the outrage over Wendy Williams' comments? If a man had said that he was using binoculars to peep in on a naked woman, it would be World War III out here in these streets.
It's definitely illegal.
Yes, that's an invasion of privacy lawsuit coming to Wendy Williams. Not only is it a crime, somebody is going to sue her for invasion of privacy. Guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Using
that she
binoculars?
Really has binoculars. It's different if you look out the window and see something, you're like, oh, oops.
No, she's a peeping Tom. That's what she is.
She's got binoculars.
She said it.
You can't do
she
that.
She said, I peep and I Tom. That is an example of oversharing. And I think that when you are, you know, worth that kind of money, you got to keep certain things to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay,
because if I live next to her, man, I would be traumatized. I would be hurt. I would be scared to walk outside because I feel like people are looking at me. I need a couple.
Let me ask you this though: is there something wrong with, like, let's say you live in a building or you're staying in a hotel, you're looking out the window, and right across from you, somebody does have the window open, and they are naked doing whatever. What are you supposed to do?
I mean, if
close your goddamn windows. You don't grab your binoculars and
now,
sit down
binoculars
and post
is,
up. Like she
the foul
said.
Part. Yeah, the binoculars is the foul part. Now, if they just doing it, out the window, they want you to see that. But if you got to grab binoculars, nah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was
eating the other day at a restaurant at Tilly's in Brooklyn, and there was somebody in a building right there, and she was in the window, and she was taking pictures with the ring light naked. And everybody in the restaurant could see her. She was right in the window, naked.
Oh, that's different. Like, it's that's totally different. What Wendy said is she grabs binoculars and she peeps on this guy. She peeps and she talks. I remember when Erin Andrews, she was a Fox Sports caster. She had got $55 million because somebody was filmed her, was peeping at her in a hotel and filmed her. Yeah. I don't think she got the $55 million, but she won $55 million in the lawsuit. So I'm just saying that's an invasion of privacy lawsuit that somebody gonna file against Wendy.
Well, one of our producers just said that his neighbor across the street, he's a serial masturbator. Now, what does that make you? Like, the first time you see him do it, you'll be like, wow. But how many times are you watching him?
There's no way I can avoid it, honestly. Like, it's impossible.
No way you can avoid it?
It's impossible to avoid it.
So it got
serial.
So, like,
you're a serial masturbator watcher.
You look out my living room, and, like, his apartment across the way is, like, really close because it's just an alleyway. But I swear, like, his blinds are always down until my living room lights go on. And then when my living room lights go on, his blinds go up. And I swear, he's just laying on his bed going.
Oh, so it's you. No, you're his muse.
Yeah.
He's f***ing off to you, Dan.
There's nothing I can do about it. It is so crazy. And like my mom will come over and I'll like, you know, like my mom's seen it. It's terrible.
Wow. Hey, so he f***s off to your whole family.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
You're a muse. Well, you're the muse of a masturbator.
That is your rumor report.
All right. Dan, where do you live again? No, just joking. Get it off. I was going to say get it off your chest. We got front page news coming up.
Dan, get it on your chest.
Get it off your chest. This guy is crazy.
We got
if you want to go to Dan's house to watch this serial masturbate.
I'm joking, man. I'm joking.
Turn porn. Don't you got Pornhub?
I'm joking. We got front page news next year.
Yes, and let's discuss the weather because we haven't been talking about these hurricanes in Florida and Alabama. What's going on there?
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
We want to pay your bills. Win $1,000 towards your expenses. Thanks to our partner, The General. Get a lot for a little at The General Insurance for coverage you deserve at prices you can afford. Visit TheGeneral.com today. Go to BreakfastClubOnline.com to enter and get rules. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with Hurricane Sally. Now, Sally has threatened the southeast. There's flooding, a lot of misery, they're saying, potentially to come. And it already has touched down in Alabama. There's more than 500,000 customers without power in Alabama and Florida as of this morning. It's the fourth hurricane to make landfall in the U.S. this year. And it's the most hurricanes we've had by this date in 16 years. Florida, in the meantime, has seen 4 months of rain in 4 hours. So they said they had 30 inches of rain in Pensacola. So for them, that would be 4 months of rain. So there still could be a lot of flooding. It has been downgraded from a hurricane to a tropical depression.
All you brothers and sisters, protect yourself. Stay safe the best that you can. Nothing you can do with Mother Nature, baby.
All right. Now, city council president, right now they are trying to figure out what to do in Pennsylvania. The judge is going to be revisiting the $1 million bail that was set for each of several accused rioters. Some of them did end up hiring private attorneys and filing petitions protesting that amount of money, a $1 million bill. At least 9 of 13 people who were arrested early Monday after protests over the police shooting of Ricardo Muñez. You guys know that Ricardo Muñez situation?
No,
I do not.
Tell us.
Well, this was in Lancaster, and a woman called 911 asking for help on Sunday. Her brother was getting aggressive with the mom, and he was attempting to break into her house. That's when a police officer arrived at the residence, and the man chased the police officer. He had a knife in his hand in a threatening manner, and they shot and killed him. And there's video footage of it and everything. So people, once that video footage was released, they felt like there should have been a better way to handle that, and that's why we need mental health experts on the scene when something like this happens, because they said he had some mental health issues. So there were protests that were happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even in the mental, I do agree that they need mental health care workers on the scene, but even they would need some type of backup. So I guess it's just a way of being able to, you know, control people who have those fits of rage without killing them.
Right.
Right. So right now, as they were protesting, and there was a lot of things going on. The protesters were damaging police vehicles. They shattered the windows of the station's building. They threw glass bottles, rocks, and bricks at the officers. They piled street signs, trash cans, plywood, and trash bags, set them on fire. And these people were 13 people were arrested. 9 of them had $1 million bill set.
I mean, y'all got to understand that when you see these situations, they're not isolated situations anymore. These people, you know, that are, you know, going to protest, they're seeing this type of violence happen to black and brown people at the hands of the police all the time via social media. So when it happens in their area, it just hits close to home. But they're going to these, you know, protests with all the rage from all the different killings that they've seen. So,
you know, what's really hard too as a family member, if you have a, you know, it's her brother. She called the police on her brother. She didn't know what to do. And she knew that he had mental health issues, and you don't expect it to end that way. It
makes you scared to call the police when you have those issues, you know? You try
to
deal
with
yourself.
Right, and what are you supposed to do? Who do you call? Yeah.
That's why you need another organization. You need some type of mental health care workers that you can call over to defuse these kind of situations. That's what people keep saying when they talk about, you know, defunding the police and taking some of those resources and putting them into, you know, other places, other avenues. They need to empower these people that know how to respond to those type of calls.
All right, and get ready for the PS5, the Xbox Series X. These Xbox Series X, all of these were announced yesterday, so get ready to purchase those.
Just
the
in
Xbox
time for Christmas,
is going
huh?
to release worldwide November 10th, and the PS5 is going to come out on November 19th, but it's releasing November 12th in the United States, Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea. So the rest of the world gets it on November 19th. They said there were a lot of issues, though, if you tried to pre-order it and all of that. But if you want to know how much it's going to cost for the PS5, the standard console, which includes a Blu-ray disc driver, it'll cost you $499.99 without it. The digital edition will cost $399.99. And for the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S both have different price points. The Xbox Series X is the most powerful console ever made, according to the company. That's $499, and the S Series is $299.
Are you getting a free Xbox for that? That sounded too good.
That sounded like a great commercial.
That sounded like an ad. You getting a free Xbox for that? Tell me right now.
Oh, I'm telling you about the PS5
PlayStation?
And
whatever the hell it is.
Xbox. Yeah. Because you know, I know people care about those things and want to pre-order them.
Especially around Christmas. Everybody's kids, I'm sure, is going to want that as a Christmas gift. I used to have a hookup at Toys R Us. They used to give me everything early or everything when it came out, but Toys R Us is closed. So I don't have that.
So if you go to GameStop, you have to go in person to try to pre-purchase that console. Yeah. But, you know, I already know. Everybody's on it.
I wish I loved video games like I used to. I bought an Xbox back in the day, but it was really just to watch my DVDs on because I didn't have a DVD player.
What?
So I would watch
Why
Girlfriends.
Why not buy a DVD player? It would have been cheaper.
No, because a video game, you could do the DVDs. You could go online with that, with the Xbox. And then if you want, you could play games. So, yeah, maybe
more
sense.
Girlfriends. Girlfriends and Boondocks. I used to watch my girlfriend's Boondocks DVDs on my Xbox. And then I would buy like the video games for Xbox that were from Marvel just because I love Marvel so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have it on the TV and be playing around with the controllers. But I'm not into video games like that.
All right. Well, what you are into is voting.
Old school mini Nintendo, though.
Now, I know what you guys are into is voting, and I want to remind y'all that there is no action as powerful as casting a vote. So Levi's is teaming up with Rock the Vote. They want to help get as many people as possible registered and ready to vote this fall. So whatever values are most important to you, make sure you get ready to hashtag vote about it. November 3rd is the date. If you need more information on key dates, election reminders, and voters information, you can get that information from Rock the Vote by texting Levi's to 788-683. That's Levi's to 788-683.
All right. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Now, when we come back, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson will be joining us.
That's
of course,
right.
They have the podcast All the Smoke. So we're going to be talking to them when we come back.
That you can hear on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio.
All right.
Starting this week.
So we'll talk to them when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Back.
You're checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests from the All the Smoke podcast.
That's right.
On to Steven Jackson. Welcome, fellas.
Thanks for having us. How y'all doing?
Ooh, well, congratulations, first of all, on the huge success of All the Smoke. It's been amazing. So I know it's something that you guys enjoy, too. And I think it's always great when you can keep on doing things that you love doing, right?
You know, it's been a smooth, fun transition for us. Neither of us really knew what the podcast space was about. We were both respectively working at ESPN and Fox at the time, but we knew that we wanted to get to a place where we could really freely speak and be us. Showtime took a chance on us a little less than a year ago, and you know, now we're here starting season two, and it's been a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, I just didn't want to do basketball. I said, y'all do everything. Y'all do topics, y'all do basketball, y'all do politics, y'all do music. Yeah. You know, we just don't want to be in this one lane.
Right. I think that, you know, the narrative of sticking to, you know, shut up and dribble and stick to your sport, you know, that's gone by the wayside. We've always been citizens of this society, you know what I mean? So we're fathers, we're business owners, we're, you know, we hold charities, we give back, and we can also talk about sports. So I think that, you know, Jack and I have been able to be the few athletes that have really been able to step outside of that sports box and also have solid footing in social justice. You know, both of us are doing, and then, you know, we're both fathers. So we just have a lot of knowledge about a lot of different things. And, you know, we just try to give back and help in those areas.
Hey, Steven, you know, you've been on the front lines all year, you know, riding for the good brother George Floyd. You know, was it hard to get back to doing just regular things like All the Smoke?
Nah, because, you know, I came on All the Smoke with the same attitude of what I've been doing. I can't let that go. I promised my brother that. So it wasn't hard. So, I mean, I actually was anxious to get back because that's our platform. That's how we control our own narrative.
What do you guys think about Steve Nash being the head coach for the Nets? Because, you know, I got to ask about my Brooklyn Nets.
It's good. I'm all for it. I mean, obviously, a lot of people had a lot of right things to say about black coaches don't get those good jobs off the rip, which is true. But if a white guy had to get a job, it would be Steve Nash. Two-time MVP. Everybody in the NBA loves him. He's low-key one of us, you know. And
for real.
I'm all for it. I can't go against Steve Nash. If it was any other white guy, I probably would put up.
This dude is crazy.
Now, what do you mean when you say low-key one of us now? That sounded to me like he got some Negro tendencies. What tendencies does he have of ours?
Hey, he got some black in him for sure. And he's one of those guys that ain't willing to speak up before we even speak up on our behalf. When I was drafted in 97, he was my vet. They had already cut me from the team, Charlamagne. But one thing about him, he kept me up under his wing. He made sure I was straight. He made sure I didn't have to spend my money. You know what I mean? So you don't get that from white guys too much, especially with black people.
No, he's a great dude. You know, I got a chance to play with him and get to know him well. And it's just really about in this game. I mean, like Jack said, although, you know, black coaches aren't afforded the opportunity to step into a situation with two superstars with a playoff team. But Steve Nash is although he doesn't have any coaching resume, you know, he's someone that was with that Golden State team, you know, as a special coach and developed a relationship with KD. You know, he's tight with the GM, so it's really about who you know, and his vast knowledge of the game is definitely going to help that young team, you know, get to where they're trying to go.
What do you guys think about the Clippers and the Clippers moving so fast? Like, that's surprising.
That hurt my soul, man. I've been a part of that Clipper curse, man.
You owe me, brother. Man. You owe me.
Yeah, whatever. It's unfortunate, man. You know, we've had, you know, Lob City teams in 2013 to 16 that we really felt should have made that jump to a championship, and we hit that second round roadblock. You know, we had the same similar situation. We was up 3-1 against Houston, looking at Golden State already. They sit James Harden down in the third quarter, and these motherfuckers come back and beat the brakes off us and then beat us four straight games. So I don't know what's going on. They might need to change that team name, get to a new arena, which Ballmer's building, and just start all over. They need a completely fresh start, man, because that Clipper thing is just tarnished.
You think the Clippers are cursed, man? I think so. Played for them. Yes. Really?
I think that the living ghost of Donald Sterling just haunts the team. You know what I mean? It's just been in the toilet ever since he touched it. Fortunately, the NBA got him up out of there and got a great owner in Steve Ballmer, but they still have the same name, same energy, same narrative. So I think they need to change the team name. I know they're building a new arena in Inglewood and just get a fresh start with that new arena. Like, let the Clippers burn, get a new name.
I don't wish death on nobody. I think that, much like my Cowboys, I think the owners, Donald Sterling has to pass away in order for the basketball gods to bless the Clippers, because they don't even want him to be able to witness a Clippers championship.
Right, yeah. So we all waiting on that.
Now, Steven, you said you felt like the NBA was going to be a distraction. Do you still feel that way?
I honestly feel like they still would accomplish more without playing. Matt was right. They did keep the attention on the situation, the task at hand, with everything going on. But like I said, we're not going to see anything different from a Black Lives Matter on the court or I Can't Breathe t-shirt. And that's what we saw. And I told them before it started, it was going to be a situation that happens that's going to make y'all want to stop playing. So why go? And I was right. But what bothered me was when they had that power, they gave it right back. So from what I said to now, I understood what Matt said because I did see them keeping attention on what the task at hand. But also, when they had the power and they gave it back by playing, it was all for nothing then for me.
Yeah, I don't think they had a plan. I think it was an emotional response to what happened in Kenosha, which was right. But I don't think they had a plan moving forward. They didn't know what to do next.
I don't think, and to be honest with you, Charlamagne, I don't think anyone has a plan. You know what I mean? And I think as a community, as a culture, and not just the Black community, we all need to have a plan because the first time in 400 years they're listening. You know, so for me looking at it, I don't think it's just the NBA's job to have a plan and everyone think that NBA is going to end, eradicate racism and make cops stop hating us and killing us. That's not going to happen. That's going to take all of us. But what I will say, and like Jack touched on, I just thought the bubble would be good because we're always going to be able to hear from LeBron. He's got tremendous platform, a tremendous outreach. But then would you have heard from, you know, Doc Rivers' emotional plea? Would you have heard Fred Van Pleet's plea? Would you have heard George Hill's plea? I just think the message traveled farther when they had that NBA logo behind them. And although so far it's been just, you know, names on the court and names on the back of the jersey, you know, I've talked to Chris Paul, and I know that they're really trying to make some real change in these cities, you know, but it's going to take some time. And what I try to tell people is everything we're fighting for now, whether it's the NBA, whether it's us as a community, we're not really going to reap the benefits. We're not really necessarily going to see the change. It's going to be a process, but I think everything we're fighting for now, our kids are going to see and their kids are going to see. So that's why we got to continue, you know, to keep 10 toes down. But it's going to take more than the NBA. It's going to take all of us to come up with and devise a plan and have a strategy and strategically execute it.
All right, we got more with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. Charlamagne?
Does the NBA want players to be outspoken? Do they want Matt Barnes? Yeah. Do they want Steven Jackson's in the NBA?
No. They want Steven Jackson's voice. They don't want his passion.
Okay.
They want him to say the right things that fits the narrative so it won't mess up the game. But if I went and I was the only one that said, I'm not playing, I'm walking out, they wouldn't want that.
What do you think about changing the name of ownership to like a governors? I guess they're trying to do that so it doesn't sound like these are owners of the team.
I think sometimes we're reaching too much. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's their money. They own the team. But what I would like to see, like I said, I don't need that. They are the owners. But I would like to, you know, see the opportunity for more minorities to get not only into basketball, but all sports, because there are groups that have money for proper funding. But it's a good old boy system. It's that oil money, that old real estate money, and it's a tight-knit group, you know. So once these people die off, hopefully they don't hand it to their kids. They allow other people, you know, hopefully some minorities to come up in this game and give us a real opportunity to have some ownership, because we have people that are willing and ready.
What are your thoughts on the bubble? I meant to ask, what are your thoughts on the bubble? You think you guys could play with no fans and no crowd and just like in the park?
But to me
hey, with Charlotte, go ahead, Jack. You can finish, but with Charlamagne was the most important thing, but carry on. I'll get to that later.
me personally, Charlamagne, I've always played the game growing up, whether it was nobody at the games or not. I played for the love of the game. A lot of guys, you got guys now, they more famous for other things than actually playing basketball. I know how hard it took me to get to the NBA and the road I took. So I would love to play in front of fans because you're still in the NBA, you're still getting paid. And it's just like an AAU tournament. And that's why any team can win. There's no home court advantage. Mm-hmm. Everybody in there, can't nobody go out and hang out and be tired of the next guy, which they shouldn't be. But that's why you see the Nuggets winning and stuff like that, different teams winning, because they're all in one place like an AAU tournament and everybody's preparing the same way.
We're creatures of habit, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, with, you know, Paul George coming out and speaking on his mental health, you know, not being able to see family, not being able to see his kids, kind of stuck, isolated in a bubble. I talked to Chris Paul, and he just said it was, you know, although it's a great situation, it's still a bubble. And considering everything going on in the world, you're really stuck in this confined in this area. We've always been able to move freely and do what we want.
You know what I mean? So to have to stay in this situation, I don't want no one feeling bad for him, but I just know personally talking to some guys, it was tough. But, you know, me, sex for that, without having sex that long, I might be blind right now trying to beat my so much. So I don't really know how I would have laughed. I'm dead ass serious. Because like I said, we're really creatures of habit. You know what I mean? When I was playing, sex was part of my routine.
Do not go blind from masturbating, okay? Don't.
Hey, that's what I heard. So I don't know if it's true or not.
how important is sex when you play?
Like I said, it's part of our routine. You know, it was a part of my. I mean, I played 15 years. It was just a part of my routine. Like I said, it wasn't every single day and a bunch of, but it was definitely a part of my routine, a part of my relaxation, a part of my recovery, a part of my off day. It was just a part of what really goes on. And I know I'm not speaking just for myself. So to be able to just really take you away from that, take you away from your kids, take you away from if you have families, taking you away from the outside world. I'm sure it was just a little, you know, obviously a little bit of, you know, whatever they had to do, they had to adjust. You had to acclimate to their new surroundings.
Now, there was a play that got suspended, right? He actually, the girl that was doing the testing, she went into his hotel room. But I felt she's safe. She's
safe. I think they overreacted on that because, like I said, she was safe. She wasn't monitoring tests. And the NBA knew what they were doing. If they didn't want a situation like that, they would have had men do and everything or women that maybe weren't as attractive doing everything. But you're putting attractive women, you know, you're putting women around. You know, it's like being locked up. And, you know, them security guards start looking good after, you know, a couple months, couple weeks, couple years. So it's just like you tempt them with anything. And it's going to be a tough play, but I agree with you, Envy. You know, she's in there. She's safe already, so he's not really risking anything except, unfortunately, you know, I heard he has a girl or he's married or some situation like that. So that was tough, but she was safe.
They couldn't do 2 months in jail. They complaining about the bubble. That is late. They got 5-star restaurants, all kind of stuff in there. How could you complain for being up for 2-3 months to play basketball and get a check? Y'all babies.
That's real. Wait.
Ain't no reason to complain about that. We have mental health and all that. Man, look. I'm sensitive to mental health. Paul George was just broke. His game was broke all playoffs. You know what I'm saying? That's just what it is. When you're in a bubble like that, you focus more because you have less outside distractions. So all that other they're trying to make excuses for, y'all games was just off.
How has this podcast built y'all friendship?
Man, we've always been cool. You know, we knew each other and played against each other for, you know, a couple years, but then he came to Golden State in 07. And we had that We Believe run where we, you know, made NBA history, shocked the world. But in the process, I lost my mom to cancer. And Jack was the one person every single day that was pulling up on me, smoking with me, bringing me food, asking me if I was good. You know, our moms made an instant connection, an instant friendship. So, you know, we went from teammates to friends to brothers during that process. So that's why it feels to me, it feels great to be able to get money with this dude off the court because we was getting money together on the court. And now we're getting money off the court and so many new doors are opening through this podcast. So it's been a real blessing.
Did y'all ever fight each other? Did y'all ever get into such a big argument where y'all just said, let's move this furniture and throw each other around?
I think it would be dope. We haven't. But I think we both smoke too much to really want to get that mad at each other. But I think it would be a good fight.
Who do you think would win?
Hey, Charlamagne, I don't even get that mad anymore. I got my teeth done, so I ain't trying to go back. Good, Charlamagne. I ain't going back and forth with nobody.
All right, we got more with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. Charlamagne?
You know what's so crazy about you and Steven? Even though y'all have done so many other things, your legends are linked to putting hands on somebody. Both of y'all. They remember Steven running in the crowd, because I watch that at least once every few months. You going to choke Derek Fisher.
Yeah, that's real shit to be happening sometimes. That's what people don't understand. Like, I think Jack and I both, obviously we're men before we're anything, first and foremost. You know what I mean? So both of our situations, you know, he had his teammates back. That's his brother. So he was going to fight for him. In my situation, like, motherfuckers get killed for that like that in the real world. So just because I'm a basketball player, I'm not letting that slide because I'm a man first. So although I don't condone and promote violence, just sometimes, life puts that on your plate and you got to handle it.
When you go back and watch that night, Steven, in the palace, what goes through your mind? Because you really are the person that set everything off.
Now that I look at it, we were racially profiled. How many people you know can get a beer thrown at them in a professional sport, and they get fined.
They get fined, yeah, for real.
So we was defending ourselves. Ron was on the court, I was on the court, a beer came out and assaulted Ron. And you know, in a lot of states, that's assault.
Absolutely.
So we defended ourselves, and we ended up getting fined. But now I look at it like that now, but back then, I was just having my teammate back. We all knew it was a split second for Ron could do anything. Right. I walked into a robbery, but I'm a rider that don't check the mileage. You know what I'm saying? Where Ron went, I didn't even think twice. And when I went in the stands, Charlamagne, I grabbed Ron. If you look at the tape, I grabbed Ron first initially. But then another guy threw another beer in his face. So I had to take the face off. I had to. He wasn't getting away with that. You know what I'm saying? And that's really the only punch I threw when he threw another beer. But the NBA never talked about that. At the time, they just wanted to implement the dress code and do anything they can stemming from that incident to help the league. You know, so they didn't even look at how the players was treated at the time.
You threw a good-ass punch, though. That's why I say you the one who really set it off, because everybody...
That was a clean. That was a clean right.
I was able to plant.
Planting.
And he had his ankles taped, so he didn't slip.
Lucky they grabbed me, because it was going to be a stump session.
Goodness gracious.
What was NBA life like after that, though, Steven? Did they give you a hard time? Did they want you back in the league? What was it like?
It was a hard time for the rest of my career, Charlamagne. I should have been an all-star at least 3-4 times. Mm-hmm. I didn't make it. I went to the Charlotte Bobcats and made them the number one defense in the league and made the playoffs for the first time. I didn't get nothing. First defense, but it was all because of the brawl. And I knew that. But me being recognized as a loyal guy, somebody who ride for their teammates, and me miss all them accolades, I take that.
Y'all got the last interview with Kobe Bryant. Yeah, that goes down in the history books. Like, how does that feel when you think back on that moment? Was there any energy that you felt like, you know?
If you see the video of us driving to we were like two kids. For me, this is somebody I idolized at 13. We in the same class, same McDonald's game, everything. So I seen this in him as a teenager. He was different then. McDonald's game, I tell this to everybody. All the top players took a solo picture with Kobe. Wow. Everybody else got group pictures, but we all took a soak because we knew he was different. We knew he was going to be special. And I'm just honest to say we had that last interview, and he said some things to me and Matt that he been wanting to say to us because he ain't seen us in a while. And I'm glad I was able to get that before he passed.
Wow. Yeah, and, you know, my situation was different. You know, Kobe came to L.A. in 96. I came to L.A. in 98 at UCLA. So, you know, Kobe, when Kobe first started, he wasn't playing. So he was always up on the UCLA campus, walking around, working out. So I got a chance to kind of sneak back into our gym and watch him work out and be like, God damn, it's Kobe. So I just kind of always, he was the bar for me. You know, I knew it. Like, if I'm going to be able to play in this league, I'm going to have to be able to guard someone like him. So what kind of became first was a fan and then, you know, became competitive, you know, going at each other, and then came to a head in 2010 in Orlando with the ball fake. And what people think after that, I mean, that was about to be a real fight. You know, I was tired of the bullshit. I was ready to fight him. It was getting close to the playoffs, and that particular situation, you know, turned into him calling me that summer. I was actually on my way to Miami. I was a free agent. I was going to the big, you know, LeBron and Chris Bosh were going right up the road to Miami. So I was on the phone with Pat Riley and D Wade talking about coming to Miami. Then out the blue, I get a call from a number I don't even know. And for some reason, I answered, and it was Kobe. And, you know, he's just like, anyone crazy enough to f*** with me is crazy enough to play me. You want to be a Laker. And, like, 3 days later, I was a Laker. You know, so through that, we became teammates, then brothers, and we got the chance to know each other off the court. So he and I were very close. You know, my kids called him Uncle Kobe. They started getting shoes from him at, like, 3 years old. You know, he coached Gigi. I coached my twins in AAU. So I would see Kobe every other weekend. And the craziest part about it was he sent his newest shoe to my kids that Tuesday, because we had a tournament that Grammy weekend, and he died on that Sunday. So we got his latest shoe on Tuesday. We went up to the Bay for this tournament, and championship Sunday morning, we found out that he had died. So that was devastating to me and my kids.
He didn't let a lot of people in. So what do you think it was? What do you think about your relationship that he let you in?
I mean, I just think, you know, when you get a chance to sit down and be with someone, you know, we were teammates, so we saw each other every single day. And then we were both going through some personal life stuff at the time, too. So we were, you know, not only playing, but we were out in the L.A. streets. You know, Kobe was the one that put me on, you know, put me in these big Hollywood rooms and in these doors with people that I would have never had an opportunity to be around. So we really got a chance to know each other off the court. And Kobe was cool. You know, I heard that he was a certain way, but you got to think, you know, he went straight to the league. So he never really had that college experience to grow up and kind of
fuck up before you're on the biggest stage, you know? So he fucked up and grew up in front of our eyes, and that's what I respected, because he just kept trying to evolve and kept trying to... So by the time he and I became teammates in 2011, you know, he was a completely different person from what I heard he was. And, you know, I judged him off of what I knew, and we became real cool and real close, and, you know, like I said, that'll always be my brother.
Wow. He
never smoked with me. That was always my thing. Like, and he told me, as soon as we win one, you know, I'm gonna smoke with you. But I seen a picture with him one time with Snoop.
Exactly.
And either he was crying or they got it in. So I never personally saw him smoke. But who's to say? I'm not sure. We have to ask Snoop if that happened.
Yeah, Snoop said he can't tell. Snoop said he'll never tell because Kobe no longer here.
That's right. That's what's up.
Look at Kobe eyes, you can kind of get your
ass. Well, new episodes are out today, and we appreciate you.
And I got to thank Steven, and I got to thank Matt, man, for partnering with me.
Oh, no doubt.
And iHeartRadio, you know, the All the Smoke podcast. I'm glad we could get that business right and make that happen, because, you know, I love the All the Smoke podcast. So we partnered with y'all.
We appreciate you, man. You was one of the first phone calls I made. You know, Charlamagne, we look up to you in this space and what you guys as a Breakfast Club have been able to do for our culture. So we definitely appreciate that. So when things started getting funny, right, when we were free agents in this space, you were the first person I called. And, you know, you let me know what you had going on and about the iHeart family. And it's crazy, you know, a couple months later, you know, now we're on the same team under the same umbrella. So like I told you, you know, when I texted you the other day, we not only want to be on your space, we want to help you grow that. So let's strategize and try to make, you know, the Black Effect as big as we possibly can.
Yeah, I want to see the All the Smoke network.
You a leader. And us as Black men, we got to put our pride aside. When we see our brother lead, get behind him, we know he's going the right direction. So the fact that we can be with you to help build us and to build you, my brother, it's an honor, dog.
Black kings got to empower each other, man.
One last thing I wanted to ask y'all before we get out of here is, if you guys were in the bubble and you had to choose between weed and sex, what would you pick?
Weed, of course.
Damn, weed and a lot of lotion, I guess. That's a f***ed up question.
I gotta go weed because my pullout game ain't terrible, so I gotta go weed.
I got almost 20,000 child support because I'm the worst pullout person in the history, so... Yeah, but the only thing I'm taking in front of weed is my kids. So outside of that, everything else is secondary.
All right.
A question: when y'all was on the road, y'all would sleep with a lot of women on the road, like women in different cities, randoms.
I had my share. They retired my. Let me tell you, they retired my at your city. You better ask about me.
Touche. We had our fun.
Y'all premiere on Showtime on the what?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 17th. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. First guest,
yep.
Allen Iverson.
No, so tomorrow will be the welcome back episode. So we're going to cover everything that's been going on since we stopped. We're also covering, you know, the anti-Semitic stuff that went with Jack. We want to be real and transparent and continue to show our growth and understanding and our love. So our first episode tomorrow is just going to be a welcome back. And then we got Chuck after that.
Word. And then you can catch the All the Smoke podcast on the Black Effect Podcast Network on iHeartRadio, okay? They're getting all the checks. Showtime, iHeart, Black Effect. We doing our thing. We doing our thing out here. God is good.
Run it up. Appreciate y'all, man. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, the biggest virtual music festival in 2020 is happening tomorrow and Saturday. The iHeartRadio Music Festival, Alicia Keys, Usher, Migos, and more, all right? Now, all you got to do is listen on iHeartRadio, or you could watch it on the CW app tomorrow and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'm kind of upset because usually we go every year and we always have a great time in Vegas, but it's not happening this year.
Yes, live. Vegas is always a good time. Mm-hmm. Vegas, for me, the iHeart Festival is always the start of the holiday season. Once that happens, once we go to the iHeart Festival, it feels like the holidays just start rolling from there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk a WNBA. Let's get married.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Maya Moore has already gotten married a couple of months ago, and that is to the man that she helped free from prison, Jonathan Irons. She was on Good Morning America, and she talked about her new marriage and how they actually had their feelings for one another grow as they were working together to prove his innocence. Here's what she had to say.
So I met Jonathan when I was 18. I was about to be a freshman at UConn, and my godparents and my great uncle introduced me to him and his story and his case being wrongfully convicted. He had been in prison over a decade at that point, and so I was just interested in learning, got to know him, and over the last 13 years, we have just developed a friendship and just entered into this huge battle to get him home. And just over time, it was pretty clear what the Lord was doing in our hearts. And now we're sitting here today, starting a whole new chapter together.
Now, if you recall, we talked about this. Maya Moore actually gave up her basketball season to help prove his innocence. Mm-hmm. So that was part of the reason why she decided not to play.
That's dope, man. They got married.
That's dope. Mm-hmm.
He came home with all that fresh out of jail PP.
That's okay. Big. That's love right there.
What, that fresh
out
of jail? Go ahead, Envy.
13.
No, the fact that she got him out and they got married. You're the only one thinking about pee-pee this early in the morning, brother.
Yeah, so they knew each other for 13 years. Hello, guys.
I'm sorry.
All right. All right, now, Carole Baskin.
You know pee-pee distracts us, yeah. I'm sorry.
Guys,
Carole Baskin, we told you about her on Dancing with the Stars and how they aired a commercial with the family wanting to find her missing ex-husband Don Lewis. Well, she says that she's on board with the commercial that aired during Dancing with the Stars, even though people suspect that she's involved in his disappearance. Here's what she had to say.
The commercial for Don Lewis aired on Monday. Are you hoping that maybe this will help find Don Lewis?
That would be wonderful if that was a side benefit.
All right. I don't know. If y'all watch Tiger King, I don't know if she had anything to do with it or not, but everyone suspects. That would really be psychotic if she's the one that had something to do with his disappearance and then she's just moving about her business. Oh, I hope they find whatever happened to him.
That's how most sociopaths do, though. Most sociopaths, most psychopaths, they do something and they kind of, I don't know if they forget that they did it or they just have the ability to act like they didn't do it.
All right, Terry Crews says that you aren't black and successful unless you've been called a coon. Now, the reason why he said this is it all started with Kanye West, and we'll get into Kanye West's tweets in a second. He was asking for solidarity for all men, regardless of race. He said, I have the utmost respect for all brothers. We need to link and respect each other. No more dissing each other on labels we don't own. Now, Terry Crews responded to a fan who said that they were going to call Kanye the C word like they've done in the past with Terry Crews. And Terry Crews responded, you are not officially black and successful until they do.
Oh, I mean, it's something to that. I mean, even though you can also be black and successful and truly be a coon. But yes, when you are black and successful, you do get called a coon. You do get called an Uncle Tom. You can get called a sellout, a member of the Illuminati. You can get called, you know, gay. You got the way you are because you've been gay for play. Like, I'm gay for pay or play. I don't know. Something with gay.
Gay for play.
what would gay for play be? Hold on. Gay for pay is when you gay for money. Gay for play is when you gay for video games. Boom.
All right. Now, Kanye, since we're talking about Kanye's tweets, he was posting about a Universal Music Group, which is the parent company to Good Music and Def Jam. He said, here are my 10 Universal contracts. I need every lawyer in the world to look at these. I have to tweet page by page. The PDF is not loading on Twitter. This moment is going to change the music industry for good. I feel so humbled and blessed that God has put me in a strong enough position to do this. Everyone keep praying. It's working. I am on my knees this morning. I wonder if Universal is going to call me. I promise I have more ideas. I will not stop. I promise you on God. He also posted a video of himself urinating on his Grammy. I know you guys saw that.
Yeah, I seen him do
that. What Kanye is saying about music contracts is essentially right, but my brothers, my sisters, nobody is forcing y'all to sign contracts.
These deals. and this is what people do that I hate, right? They always talk about ownership. I got to own this. You should own this. But you also got to think about it like this. A lot of these artists were nothing when they came out, right? The label invested into these artists' lives. They gave them budgets. They gave them money for albums, for marketing and all that. When your album is done and you finish your contract, you can renegotiate or you don't have to re-sign with the label. You don't have to sign to a label.
Well, a lot of times people sign a longer deal than just an album too, by the way.
Yeah, but that's whose fault is that? You don't
labels don't really want to invest in you because you got to think for artists that blow up, there's 20 that don't. And so normally, if a label signs and invests in you, they're not going to sign you for one album usually, because then they invest all that and then you go and sign somewhere else. So you got to understand both sides of it. If you decide to sign a deal, a label's not going to say, I'll sign you to this. But Hit-Boy responded. Now, it's interesting what he had to say, right? Hit-Boy said, I haven't been a fan of Kanye on a personal human level since he told me face-to-face he stopped picking my beats because I worked with Beyonce. This is after I produced N-Words in Paris, Click, and a myriad of other songs, projects for him and his label Good Music in the 2 years I was signed with them. This tweet is something I can't agree with, though. And he talked about Universal has held me in what the last three lawyers I've hired have referred to as the worst publishing contract they've ever seen since I was 19 years old. I'm 33 now and have multiple Grammys, produced a lot of your favorite artists' biggest songs on top of turning in over 450 records since I first signed. And Universal still doesn't have it in them to simply be fair. If they're doing this to me with all I've accomplished through hard work, I can only imagine the kids who don't have big placements, proper guidance. If I have to be the one to get blackballed for telling the truth and trying to set the next generation free, then so be it. By the way, I produced 10 plus joints on the current number one album in the country.
When you're young and get got, I can understand that. But smart people learn from their own mistakes. Wise people learn from the mistakes of others. We've been watching artists get jerked in the music industry for years. Wouldn't at some point you get in this game, you would find some lawyer that really has your best interests at heart so you don't make these mistakes? And I always say, talk to the people who've done it. You know what I mean?
About how to do it.
LL Cool J owns his masters. Stevie Wonder owns his masters. Rihanna owns her masters.
Jeezy owns his masters. Hov owns his masters. Ross owns his masters. Like, Jay-Z, these guys own their masters. Yeah, they own their masters. But like I said, people are scared to have a conversation. When it comes to something, let's say in television, I call Charlamagne. You know why? Because this is what he does. I call 50 because this is what they do. I call people that I have to ask.
I called you last night because I'm selling a property. And I got an offer on a property. I'm like, let me make sure this is a good deal. I called Envy because that's what Envy does.
That's what you're supposed to do.
All right, well, Wale also responded and said, vicious backdoor-ish be going on in this business. The gag is when your lawyer and manager are old friends, and you didn't know that until you signed some BS, and now folks wonder why you angry all the time. Y'all only going to feel who y'all want to feel, though. Hate my management situation for like 2 years now. I just love my fans more. 1 out of 10 of these folks be genuine. Sometimes the signs be directly in y'all face. Artists in situations where they're cornered in, this ish be dark.
I'm not laughing at Wale. I'm laughing at vicious and backdoor in the same tweet. Because when I hear vicious and backdoor in the same tweet, I think of Envy and the dildo when he, you know, hold that. But listen, I feel like some of this might be self-serving in regards to Kanye, because he wants his masters. And am I tripping? Didn't Kanye just re-sign to Def Jam?
Yes, like a year and a half ago, two years ago, I think it was.
I thought that was this year. I thought when they signed Public Enemy, they re-signed Kanye. Maybe I'm just talking. I don't know. Maybe I thought I heard that
somewhere. It was a year ago.
And isn't he trying to sell good music to Def Jam?
Yeah, no, he's not doing good music anymore. So.
Yes.
So why would you be selling your artist to the same label that you're complaining about trying to get your master from? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I just want people to start actually talking to the people who've done it about how to do it. Plenty of artists out there who own their own masters.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report. That's why I'm a fan of short-term deals, man. I don't like having to sign a long deal. I like to do the shortest deal possible, always.
Yeah, never mind. All right, now we got Donkey Today coming up.
Yes, and I need Brian Sazi. He's the editor at large at Yahoo Finance to come to the front of the congregation. We need to have a little cultural history lesson real quick. Let's talk, Brian.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heel.
Did she get Donkey today? Please tell me.
I have become Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
You're a donkey.
Donkey of the Day for Thursday, September 17th, goes to the editor at large and co-anchor of Yahoo Finance's The First Trade Live Morning Show, Brian Sazi. Brian. I will never call someone ignorant, okay, for what they don't know, but I will call you ignorant if you're not willing to learn. Now, I read a headline from you yesterday that I had to put on my Instagram page because it was so completely culturally clueless that it was disgusting. You can go look at it for yourself. My Instagram is C2God, C-T-H-A-G-O-D. It's the last post I put up. It's one of those moments where you realize why diversity matters so much, because when you have the large reach that a Yahoo Finance does and you put out this type of misinformation, It's just straight up erasure. Straight up not acknowledging what culturally someone has done. I would go so far as to say this is a colonizer's way of seeing the world, because when you are a white privileged male, you have cultural blind spots because you don't have to pay attention to everybody else. And everything you do see, that's a first for you, since you are an almighty, all-knowing white man, must be a first for everyone else, right? In this case, it's not about a first. It's about something that has been a staple in black hip-hop New York culture for years. Okay, what am I talking about, ladies and gentlemen? I'm talking about Timbaland. No, not the legendary producer and one of the architects of the Versus battle. I'm talking about Timbs. Classic, wheat-colored, double soles only, 6-inch premium, waterproof hiking boots that most of us have never hiked in our lives. Have you ever hiked in a pair of boots, Envy? Pair of Timbalands?
No.
Yeah, have you ever hiked in a pair of Timbalands?
I've never hiked, period.
Okay. Now, I don't know if y'all saw yesterday, but Senator and Vice Presidential nominee Kamala Harris, she visited firefighters and toured the scene of the California wildfires in Fresno yesterday. And when she stepped off the private jet, she made culturally clueless people of all races go nuts. Okay, let me read you some of these tweets about Kamala Harris and her Timbs. And I put Timbs in air quotes. BT. The network that told Envy that he wasn't black enough posted a video of Senator Harris getting off the private jet with the caption, "Stepping off the jet with the wheat Timbs. Hurry up and register to vote. Hashtag Kamala Harris, hashtag vote." I'm disappointed in whoever wrote that tweet from BET, because y'all should know better, and I'll tell you why in a second. A young lady named @LadyNina said, "How you roll up to save the country? Hashtag Kamala Harris, hashtag Timbs." AJ Delgado tweeted out, "Is she wearing Timbs on the campaign trail? And that swagger, the ultimate cool girl." Sarah Pearl on Twitter said, "She wears Timbs too." And Karen Jean-Pierre from the Biden campaign posted the video of Kamala getting off the jet, and she simply put, "The Timbs." Now, Brian Sozzi, I need you to be paying attention right now, because like I said, it's not what you don't know that makes you ignorant. It's what you are not willing to learn. See, after all that excitement people had over Senator Kamala Harris wearing Timbs, and I still have Timbs in air quotes, Brian wrote an article for Yahoo Finance. The headline of that article said, "Kamala Harris may have made Timbaland boots cool again." I repeat, Brian Sozzi, editor-at-large for Yahoo Finance, wrote an article that said, "Senator Kamala Harris, who I love, by the way, may have made Timbalands cool again." Wow. I've been reading all these articles about New York being dead, but this headline is really taking the Big Apple disrespect to another level. Since when have Timbs not been cool? Okay, Brian, I know you're the editor-at-large at Yahoo Finance, but it has to be at least one person of the culture who works at Yahoo Finance who is looking at this headline today in disgust and is complaining about the fact that y'all don't know what the hell y'all talking about in regards to the culture up there at Yahoo Finance. Brian, we live in a world now where you can really treat our culture like a safari based on who you follow on social media. If you follow people from, you know, various, okay, cultures. If you follow people from various cultures, you will see how disgusted people who know culture were over Kamala Harris's Timbs. Don't listen to the political liberal crowd, white or black, because they are culturally clueless too. That's why they don't know how to communicate their messaging to the American people. That is why there is a disconnect now, okay? And Senator Kamala Harris's Timbs prove it, okay? Let's go look at the other side of Twitter, shall we? My man, Master Ace. Master Ace is from Brooklyn, right? Master Ace said, and I quote, "Those are not Timbs. Even if Timbaland made those shoes, I, as a native New Yorker, must repeat, those are not Timbs." No need for Master Ace to explain. If you know, you know. Randy C. Millard posted a meme of Desus and Merrill saying, "F out of here," with the caption, "Kamala Harris had on the wrong Timbs." A brother named @NFLMalik on Twitter said, "I'm really dying laughing still at them Kamala Harris Timbs." He too put Timbs in air quotes. And the fact that so many people from outside the culture are celebrating them joints as a relating point, not knowing all Timbs ain't good Timbs. That right there sums up today's Donkey of the Day in a tweet. Brian Sozzi of Yahoo Finance wrote a whole article saying Kamala Harris may have made Timbs cool again, as if Timbs have ever been anything less than cool. Brian wrote in his article, "What better validation of Timbaland's ruggedness mixed with comfort than Senator Harris's entire day in them? Don't talk to me about comfort and ruggedness of Timbaland's if you have not found a way to wear them year round like my brother Wax or my man Is Biscuit." Until you've worn Tim's on the beach, like Wax and It's Biscuit and Deezus from Deezus and Merrill, don't tell me about ruggedness mixed with comfort. Okay, Brian Sazzo said, what better signal to shoppers that Tim's could be cool again? Maybe not early 90s cool, but cool now that Harris is wearing a sneaker-like version of the iconic footwear. That right there is the problem, Brian. Sneaker-like version of Tim's. We don't do that. Okay, no. Just go read under my comments on Instagram. All right, Sim. Our Sim here at iHeart says, it looks like she has on the single sole Tim's Blasphemy. Rocky Thunder said, those the Burlington Coat Factory butters. Willie Bird. D from the Ghetto Boys said in reference to you, Brian, his mama should be embarrassed and his daddy should have pulled out. No more talk. My man Eugene, who works at the NAACP, said, and I quote, if we weren't fighting 45, she would have lost my vote on the lace-up alone. Poor Senator Kamala Harris was cutting off all circulation to her ankles the way she had those boots tied, like she really had them tied, like she was going to work on somebody's construction site. The moral of the story is, Tim's have always been cool, Brian. In fact, Jimmy Choo released a collab with Tim's this week. Real Tim's, the 6-inch wheat premium joints, not whatever Senator Harris had on. And that's not her fault, but clearly she don't have anyone around her to tell her what Tim's to rock and how to rock them. If you're watching us on Revolt TV, please, please, Revolt, put up this picture of AOC, okay? Do you see that picture of AOC up on the screen? That's her with Deezus and Merrill. That's the kind of Tim's you rock, and that is how you rock them, okay? That was last year. I believe, right? I think that was last year. You know why she had those on last year, Brian? Because Tim's have always been cool. Please let Chelsea Handler give Brian Sazzi of Yahoo Finance the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. That is way too much Dan mayonnaise.
Jesus Christ.
And on another note, I don't know if y'all saw the Tim's that Megan Thee Stallion posted, the Jimmy Choo collaboration. Now, those are pretty nice. And
you just mentioned the fresh. Yeah. Those are 1300. He just mentioned those. Yeah. Remy Martin posted them as well.
I saw Remy had them on too. Those are fresh.
We need to send Kamala Harris some.
Harris some of those? Yeah.
Yeah, we need to send her the right Tim's to wear because what she was wearing, like she said, those are the Burlington Coat Factory special.
You know who else had some nice Tim's last year? I think it was Off White. Was it Off White that had the Tim's?
I don't know. See.
Yeah,
Off White had Tim's.
Don C did some Tim's. Calla did some Tim's.
So let's send Senator Harris the right pair of Tim's. And yes. Jimmy Choo, if y'all want to send us a pair for Senator Harris, hit us up because I'll get Senator Kamala Harris's sizes and we're going to get her the right pair of Tim's. Mina, we got to keep your aunt right. Maya, we got to keep your sister right. Okay?
Yeah.
These Off-White Tim's are kind of dope.
They was way off. All right. All right. Thank you. And you used to tie your Tim's like that too, Charlamagne. So don't talk
Never.
About her tying her Tim's. You used to tie
Never.
Your Tim's real tight like that
Never.
Too.
Never. All right.
Pull up the picture.
Ask Ye is next. 800-585-1051. If you need any type of advice, Ask Ye is next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What you wanna know?
Baby mama issues? Need some words of wisdom? Call up now for Ask Ye. 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. Hello, who's this?
It's Mark, man. Birmingham, man. Birmingham, Alabama.
What's up, brother? What's your question for Ye?
What's going on, man? Hey, Ye, man. I'm trying to see, man, do I need to let my marriage keep on going or just let it go? You know, me and my wife, we've been together for almost, 13 years, been married, 9, together, whatever. And, you know, I was ready to survive. I ain't know how to probably love my wife nor my kids, you know what I'm saying? And I got it mixed, mm-hmm. and I just started rightly being a father, you know, probably about 5 years ago. Because my whole mm-hmm. thing was, like I said, in my mind frame, as long as all the bills were paid, kids were took care of, food on the table, in my mind, you know what I'm saying, the house was straight. You know, like mm-hmm. home straight. Ain't nobody heard from that new cars in the yard the whole night. You know, and I stepped out on my wife a couple of years ago. And now I had to redo myself and make myself a better person for her. But now I'm doing everything she wanted me to do. You know, being faithful, being honest, opening up to her, things of that nature. But the other night was in the room and I asked, I said, damn, but you've been acting kind of, you know, like funny with me lately. Like, what's up, talk to me. And she told me, she said, man, you did so much in the past. Well, I still love you, but I'm scared to open up. I'm scared to let this wall back down to you. I'm scared I'm gonna let this. She's scared basically that I'm gonna break her heart again. Mm-hmm. And I know that I messed up, but I'm like, damn, do I keep trying to prove myself or do I just let it go?
Sir, don't you think she should be scared?
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, like I said, we was both young. We got together, like literally, like we were like 17, 18. And it wasn't her responsibility, but she was there with me to help me grow from a man to a boy. And I admit that
okay,
we
helped her grow? I mean, listen, here's my thing. Did she ever do anything to betray your trust?
Yeah, I mean, we done both did our dirt. We have. But the thing of it is, she has mine, though.
Yeah, but it takes time. You said a couple of years ago, you said this happened, right? You cheated, you stepped out.
Yeah.
And you said for 5 years you weren't a good father.
Yeah, like I said, I ain't gonna say good father. What I mean by that, like I was like putting in a lot of time on my children. I was just my thing with being a father was like I said, taking them shopping, going to spend a bunch of money on them, did that, and other. That was mine. It took my dad to tell me, like, hey, man, you need to start building memories with them children, taking them places, taking them out of town. Right. They ain't going to remember them clothes and them Jordans that you're buying them when they get old.
Listen, to gain someone's trust back is a lot of work. And she told you she's nervous, she's scared. She needs you to constantly reassure her right now. And this is years of her feeling like this, that now all of a sudden she's supposed to believe that you've changed. I'm sure that she's been wanting this to happen for a while. She's been thinking it's going to happen. It didn't happen. And the truth is, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. So, of course, she's not 100% going to trust you right away and let you back in. It takes some time. Are you willing to put that time in?
Time in those years now. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been some years that I did my dirty. It's been some years.
You said a couple of, like, 2 years?
Probably three for real.
I'm just confused. It seems to me like you have a lot of work to do, but you still have to do that work. That's not easy. Like, you broke her heart.
Man, we broke
and I'm sure heart. That, and I'm sure that it gets, I know, but we're talking about how she's feeling right now. You know what I'm saying? You can't justify it by saying, well, she did this, she did. We both mistake. We were young. She's the one right now that has this wall up. And has it gotten better since the beginning of her finding out all these things?
I mean, to a certain extent, but it's like,
okay, so
she get close, she bad back up.
It takes some time to get that progress. It takes some time of consistency. And that's a lot. It is a lot of work. Have y'all gone to seek professional help?
No, we ain't. But see, at the thing, though, you like, she wanted me to just get past her little mishap that she did. But she holding on to mine, though. That's unfair.
This is not a tit for tat. If this is really how she feels, it might be time for you to show how serious you are by making the effort to get some professional help, because sometimes feelings are so involved, so emotional, that y'all might need the right tools to figure out how can you move past this. And there might be things that trigger her and she can't really help that, but she's got to figure out a way to deal with it. And you also have to have some patience.
I've been having them. I've been trying. Hey, man, when you know you're doing right, you're trying to do right. And somebody constantly throwing that mess up in your face like that, that's hard, ye.
Right.
That mess hard, man.
I sympathize with you on that. I feel you. And she probably feels like it's hard for me to trust you, just like you feel like it's hard for me to be doing the right thing, and then you keep on acting like I'm not. And that's why I'm saying it might be time for y'all to have to get some professional help in order to move past this. But I will say it takes a lot, man. As women, and I'm sure for men too, when things like that happen, it's not easy. It's not easy for us to not want to feel like a fool again. We think about where your emotions involved with somebody else. How did this happen? There's certain times that things, you know, you did that to her, and it's something that she hasn't completely put behind her. And it might not ever be completely gone, and she might need to be reassured. And I'm sure that's frustrating. But, you know, part of when you make those mistakes is sometimes it's hard to get past it, and you need to find those right tools. I think you should show her that you mean business and say, let's set up an appointment and start working on some counseling. Even if it's, you know, going to church, just maybe it takes you doing even more than what you've been doing, just the two of you. Because I think with just the two of you working on it, it's not happening.
All right. You ain't like what you had to say. All right. Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got questions for Ye, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Keep it real with you. Here's some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. My name is Akil. How you doing?
Akil, hey, what's up, man? What's your question for Yee?
All right, so my question is, I just want to know if it's actually a good time to start a business. I'm trying to start a juice truck, actually. I'm actually aiming for, like, around March, you know, when spring starts again and whatever the case may be. Now, given the pandemic, I know, like, this has been, like, in a decline and dwindling and stuff. So I just want your opinion and take on it, knowing that you actually, like, run a juice bar and such.
Man, and shout out to Akil that we have at the juice bar. He's usually in the Bronx, though, but he does a great job. He's amazing.
Comes to Brooklyn sometimes.
His father, Nigel. So, yeah, shout out to Akil. But I will say our juice business has been doing really well during this pandemic. So if you have the means and the funds to start a business right now, it can be a good time depending on what that business is. I think a lot more people are concerned about their health and trying to be proactive and doing the right thing. So, yes, I do believe that if you have, and you said you're going to do a truck, so you'll be mobile, you can go to different places.
Yeah, yeah. So my ideal audience is like, you know, people who are in, like health and well, people in the fitness, like to maybe park up our gym or such, you know, the fine clientele. And iron ears too, real quick. My name is Akil, obviously, and I'm also from the Bronx as well.
Oh, that's dope. All right. No, I do think that as far as things like that, when it comes to health and wellness, I think this is a good time for us to, you know, to do those businesses. As a matter of fact, I will say that our juice bar has been not only stayed open during this whole time, but it's actually been doing a little better with less hours because I do feel like people are being a lot more active and learning about their health. So one thing I will encourage is make sure when you have something like this that you are very involved and for the communities that you're serving. I think that's important because that personal touch really does matter and people can tell when you're passionate about helping people. So do it for the right reasons. And yes, I do think it's a good time if you have the means to start that business.
And there's a lot of grants out there, too. So there's the government is really trying to help people start up loans. And there's grants. There's they give you loans where the interest rates are very cheap and you don't necessarily have to pay back starting. You know, they give you a year to get yourself together. So there's a lot of things out there that will help you out during this time. So definitely do your homework.
Definitely. I think you definitely appreciate that. And it'd be really, really quick. I know the pandemic is going on, but you host maybe like a virtual seminar for like real estate, things like that, too, because I'm also trying to find ways to have multiple streams of income.
Yeah, we did. I did one. I know Yee does a Wealth Wednesdays that she does on Wednesdays, but I do one once every couple of months. I think I'm going to do one in October where we're actually going to do a webinar where we're going to actually go into a bunch of different houses that we own and that we're fixing up to show people how we're doing, the cost, and all those other things. I think CZ and I are going to do that. And then CZ and I will be on TV, hopefully, the end of this year, early next year, kind of breaking down some of the things and trying to help people get grants and money and loans and try to, you know, to finagle a system. A lot of times we just don't know how to finagle a system in a legal way and try to teach you guys how to do it.
Right. Well, all right, guys. Well, thanks so much for your time and assistance. I appreciate it.
Good luck,
thank
brother.
You.
All right, Ask Yee, 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice. Now, Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and Samuel L. Jackson interviewed John David Washington. That's, as you know John David Washington. That's Denzel's son, but he's also an amazing actor in his own right. And find out what he had to say.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Chris Rock.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Chris Rock just did an extensive interview. I'm reading it on HollywoodReporter.com. And it's also in the New York Times if you want to check it out there. But he's talking about Fargo because, you know, he's in the season of Fargo on FX. And then he's also talking about learning that he has a disorder. One of his friends had said that he might have Asperger's. And then he went ahead and got all kinds of cognitive tests done. And he found out he has nonverbal learning disorder. So he has tremendous difficulty with nonverbal signals. He also says that he's been in therapy 7 hours a week. So he said he decided to seek meaningful help for the first time in his life. He also just recently learned how to swim. That's inspiring because I don't know how to swim. He said, do you know how effing hard it is for a grown-up to learn how to swim? You got to be to not be scared to die.
That's the main thing. You can't be scared of the water. If you're not scared of the water, you're good. Gia doesn't know how to swim. Like I said, I learned how to swim early. My kids know how to swim. But I see grown-ass people jump in the pool, and they just start going crazy. And I'm like, just stand up. Just stand up.
Yeah, that article is a great article, man. Chris Rock is one of my favorite minds. I definitely want to know more about the nonverbal condition he has, because 80% of communication is nonverbal. So I wonder how that's just impacted him throughout his life.
Right. So he addresses a lot of things like blackface. Remember, he had defended Jimmy Fallon from when he did a blackface impersonation of Chris Rock on SNL. He said he doesn't remember seeing it at the time. He said it was just bad comedy. And he said Fallon doesn't have a racist bone in his body. And he did call him after he issued a public apology to tell him that he loves him. And he's also going to appear on Fallon's Tonight Show to promote Fargo as well. So he's got a lot going on right now. And he's trending right now for some of the things that he just recently has said in some interviews about Democrats and coronavirus and Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good conversation, too. I mean, what he said is that, you know, the Democrats let the coronavirus seep in by... I don't want to misquote the brother, Chris Rock. Not for something like that. What did he say exactly? He said Democrats let COVID-19 come into the U.S. by focusing on the impeachment instead. I think it's a combination of all that. Democrats were impeaching Trump, but Trump is still the president, and his response to the pandemic was garbage. But he also could have been distracted by the impeachment as well. But being that he was the one who said himself, he tried to downplay it. That excuse won't fly, but Democrats and Republicans are both Americans, and I don't remember either side ringing any alarms earlier this year in regard to the coronavirus. Coronavirus just kind of hit us in March. Like, you heard things about it here and there, but it wasn't dominating the news until late March.
All right, Barack Obama has announced that his memoir, A Promised Land, will be released in November. So I know we're excited about that. He posted, "There's no feeling like finishing a book, and I'm proud of this one. I spent the last few years reflecting on my presidency, and in A Promised Land, I've tried to provide an honest accounting of my presidential campaign and my time in office."
Hey, man. All right. I enjoyed becoming, so I'm looking forward to reading President Obama's book.
Another thing I'm looking forward to is Insecure Season 5. It looks like they are getting ready for that. They just did the table read, and Issa Rae posted Season 5 table read different. Another thing that she recently did was she did she quizzed SZA on Insecure to see how much she knew about it. Listen to how it went.
Molly gets tased trying to get back into Coachella after being kicked out. True or false?
I'm so narcissist that all I remember is that y'all went to see me on the show. tased, that would be so dramatic, and I feel like I would remember that. False.
False. Kelly got tased.
Okay. All right. I feel like I would do good on that quiz because you know that's my show.
Yeah, you
would. Yeah, if you actually watched the show, SZA don't sound like she actually watched the show.
SZA act like she's seen.
I mean, that would seem like a lucky guess. She act like she's seen the show before, but it's a difference between seeing it a couple times and actually being invested in every episode.
Right.
Well, she was also on it too, so.
She was. She was on. Yeah, she was on that episode. She performed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Jim Carrey, in the meantime, is going to be playing Joe Biden in the new season of Saturday Night Live. So get ready to see that. Alec Baldwin, as you know, he'll be going head to head with Alec Baldwin. Alec will be returning as Donald Trump. People really enjoy Saturday Night Live during this time, I have to say. I just be watching the clips online. I don't know if I really watch the show live when it's happening ever.
Yo, all right. Jim, and Jesus. Think about that. Jim Carrey and Maya Rudolph together. Because Maya Rudolph plays Cindy the Hatter. That's going to be entertaining.
And Desus and Mero has been renewed for another season on Showtime. So congratulations to them.
Dropping the food rounds for the Bodega Boys. Desus and Mero.
I don't know why people think we still got beef. I mean, we
squashed
out our beef. Yeah, we good. I'm happy. I want to see them win.
It's because of the internet clip. If a YouTube clip got 2-3 million views, that's what they see all the time. They don't see y'all hugged up on the baseball field, or they don't hear you shouting them out saying y'all don't got no issues. Like, nobody ever hears that as loud as they hear the BS. That's just the truth to the matter.
Well, they've been renewed for a third season, so congratulations.
Proud of my guy. All right. Salute to them, man.
And John David Washington, he was interviewed by Samuel L. Jackson, and he talks about moving back home during this pandemic. You know, his father, Denzel Washington, of course. Listen to this.
When the pandemic was raging, you were back at home.
I was in the crib, yeah.
And you were in your old room?
Yes, Uncle Sam, I was in my old room. Yeah.
So did that feel like those old television shows where the kid graduates from college and then he ends up coming back home? But you're not a burden on your parents because, I mean, you actually got a job and a career and stuff. So you were just there, like... But you still had to do chores, though, right?
My chore was to make sure I'm down for dinner in time.
That That's not a chore.
Okay, well, how about cooking?
Now, just for perspective, Samuel L. Jackson was guest co-hosting on Jimmy Kimmel Live. I thought that was cute.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I would love to go home with my mom. My mom would cook 3 times a day. I get to watch the games with my dad. That would be the best ever.
I feel like I'd be cooking for my parents 3 times a day.
Nah, mom's if I live with them. Got that.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report. Can you cook, Envy?
Yes, I do. I cook every morning. I cook the kids breakfast in the morning, and then I cook dinner every night.
Every night?
My wife handles she washes the laundry and does that, because right now we don't have a nanny, so I cook every night. Kids love it.
Would BET consider your meals black?
They probably would say it wasn't black enough.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you cook, Charlamagne?
No. I used to cook spaghetti. But no.
But now you can't anymore? That's like the easiest thing to make.
No, I can't. Because I used to do it so much that it was a thing. Like, I could really whip together some spaghetti and some corn.
Now, you could really boil that water, right?
Spaghetti. I could boil that water together.
That's right.
Let's not act like cooking them noodles ain't a tough thing, man. You got to make sure
it's
they're
really
not too soft. But no, I can't cook. Cooking is not
my thing. I know you don't like that stuff.
You have to throw spaghetti
anyway
on the wall, and if it sticks to the wall, that means it's ready.
All right. Well, Revolt, peace. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. Get your request, and it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, the biggest virtual music festival in 2020 is happening tomorrow and Saturday. Alicia Keys, Usher, Migos, and more. It's the iHeartRadio Music Festival. You can listen on iHeartRadio, or you can watch on the CW app tomorrow and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Usually, we head out there. I'm kind of mad that we're not going.
I am. I'm not going to lie. I look forward to Vegas. That is a nice little, you know, getaway, kind of like a little vacation for me and the wife, where it's just us two, no kids. I am disappointed. I'm not going to lie.
You know what, too? I had, for the first time in my life, like, planned a lot of things in advance this year in particular, because I've been trying to do better at booking stuff in advance. And everything has gotten canceled. So I got like a super cheap flight because I had to go to L.A. to get the Gracie Awards were supposed to be in L.A. right after. And so I booked this flight super cheap, got an upgrade already and did all kinds of things. And then it got canceled.
Yeah, me too. You know, my kids like to go because my kids like the artist performance. So I booked their flights already. I booked it early so it wouldn't be that expensive, but it wound up canceling.
Listen, thank God we're all still alive and we are very blessed and thankful to be in the position that we're in where we still are getting a check and, you know, still making things happen and starting businesses and everything that we have going on. So we are so blessed. Thank you, God.
Very true.
And I hope everyone else is getting blessings as well.
Absolutely.
Same.
All right. Well, when we come back, positive note, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yes, man. The positive note is simply this. Your soul is always going to whisper your truth back to you. Your soul wants what is best for you. And if you try to silence his voice, eventually the whisper will become a roar.
Breakfast Club, bitches. Y'all finished or y'all done?
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.